Can't you hear the Satan, the devil, the snakes hiss? That's why we don't like to hear, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's perfectly in order to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive my sins. Not my, that's my bad, my uh-oh. Forgive my sins. And in my case, they were and are many. So it's a time of remembrance, remembering at the whipping post. See that cat of nine tails up there? Skeeter, I'm not going to use you for an example, I promise. Feel like it sometimes. No. Now, this one was made and platted for us, and it has nails and stone and stuff in the end of it. But in that day, they used rocks, bones, iron. Had him tied to a post. Anybody want to volunteer to? And they beat him with this thing. And every time that would come across his back, the flesh would rip. The blood would flow. Now, I'm not going to do it with that one because a nail will come out and poke somebody's eye out. But see him at the whipping post. See him there. Every time, meet. Remember the pain. Is it easy for him? No, no. See him as they take a crown of thorns. Let's remember that they placed that on his head and took a stick and drove it into his scalp. More blood. Let's remember how they blindfolded him and punched him. Prophesy unto us, prophet. Tell us which one of us punched you. Bloody nose, a busted lip, more blood. You see, on that cross, and when they pierced his side with that spear, more blood and water. But the beating that he'd already taken at the whipping post, and when they put that crown and when they punched him, he left a trail of blood all the way to Calvary. Not just at Calvary. That sand was marked with the blood of the sinless one. And he did it all for you and for me because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But, there's my word, but have everlasting life. So it's a time of remembrance. Secondly, it's a time of anticipation. You saw where Jesus said in this passage, I won't drink of the fruit of this vine again until that day that we're in the kingdom and we all partake together. Stop and think about that, Pete. One day, those nail-pierced hands, you're going to see the scars. You're going to look at the scars of his face where his beard was ripped out. And he himself is going to serve you communion, what we're about to partake of tonight, the Lord's Supper. He himself will serve us. Time won't be an issue. We're not in a hurry to get home to Thursday night football. We don't have a roast in the oven because time is not an issue. Just like when you're in Vegas. Not even many clocks up there. I got news for you. There ain't going to be none in heaven either. So it's a time of anticipation, looking forward to that day when we look him in the eye. Those eyes of compassion. when he serves us, the elements. It's a time of praise and for his victory over death and the grave and hell. Because let's remember in our remembering that before he ascends, he descends into the regions of the damned. And he fulfills a prophecy all the way over in Genesis where he bruised his heel on the serpent's head, where he takes the keys. He didn't ask for them. He took them. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from the devil. Thank God that Easter Sunday morning, he comes walking out of there, out of that grave. I love the fact that I got to get this cobweb off. I don't know where it came from, but it is bugging the fire out of me. I love the fact that he made a show of the devil openly. He didn't do it in secret. He did it, walked right out, was seen and talked to and witnessed by over 500 people. His resurrection is not even a debatable issue. You see, I love where in Ezekiel, I'm sorry, Job, he was allowed to have a vision of that Easter Sunday morning when he had gone through all that he had gone through and lost all that he'd had and lost 10 kids and lost all of his cattle and crops and all of those things. And he asked the question, he said, if a man dies, will he live again? And he was allowed to have a vision of Resurrection Sunday. And he described it this way. I saw a celestial light that shone forth, and the stone rolled. I heard the grinding of a great stone, and out stepped one that said, I am he that was dead, but I'm now alive forevermore. I want you to know the grave couldn't hold him. Pilate couldn't kill him. And I got news for you. Nothing will defeat him. It's that simple. It's that plain. Let's remember that. But it's also a time of self examination. I don't have time, nor do I want to be your judge. I have a hard enough time dealing with my own self. And in truth, if each and every one of us would really tend to the judging of ourself, you wouldn't have time to judge me or your neighbor or your boss, because I promise you there's enough flesh that dwells in each of us to keep us busy. It'll keep us crucifying that flesh so that we can walk in the spirit. And if we don't crucify the flesh, guess what? We'll walk in the flesh. It's a time of self-examination. Just like the words were recorded there and we read them again, where the disciples said, talking about failing or betraying, they all said, Master, is it me? Ask yourself the question tonight, are you failing the Lord? Are you betraying him? Have you sold him out for a bill of goods that the world has offered that says, if you'll just try this, you'll have peace, and you try it and you don't have peace, and you try something else and you don't have peace, and you try something else and you don't have peace, and you get to a place that you don't know whether you're scratching or winding or coming or going. You don't know what's going on, but you're in a place that you've tried what the world said, try. Jesus don't say try, he just says come. Come, I'll give you peace, not as the world gives, but my peace I'll give unto you. Whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you a Judas? Are you a Peter? It's also a time of repentance. You see, even though Peter failed, he went out and wept bitterly and he repented. The story didn't end there. Peter went on to be used mightily of God. Thousands were saved under his proclaiming of the gospel. You remember how 50 days later, Peter stands in front of the same Sanhedrin court that had carried out a kangaroo court in the crucifixion of Jesus. He stands in front of the very ones that 50 days earlier he had hid from and cowed down in the face of a little old girl. He was a coward. But 50 days later, he stands in front of that same court and he boldly proclaims unto them, this Jesus who you crucified and who you hung on a tree, this Jesus is the reason that this man stands before you today whole and well. What's the difference? The difference is he'd been filled with the Spirit of God. He had a passion about him. He had a commitment to him. He had a resolve to him. And I don't know if this is a word or not, but he had decided to have a stick-to-itiveness about him. He had decided he wasn't going to deny nor fall nor fail anymore, that he was going to press forth to the prize of the high calling of God. He had made up his mind. He was tired of getting kicked around. He had made up his mind that he was tired of losing. And you need to make the same decision. You want me to tell you one of the things in closing that really helped me with my walk, especially in the early years, my walk with God? Because I want you to know, Scripture says that the devil will come immediately to try to steal what the Lord begins in you. Before it takes root, before you get strong, before you learn God's word, before you learn how to do spiritual warfare, the devil will come immediately to try to steal that. And he did the same to me. But I looked at it this way. Now, I know I'm not a theologian and don't want to be. This is cowboy vernacular. I looked at it this way. I never did take a butt whooping very easy. And I never did learn to like one. And that's exactly what the devil was trying to do. He was trying to whip me. And I had to get to make up my mind, I've got to get in the fight. I've got to throw some punches. I've got to fight to win this thing. I'm in it to win it, not to lose. Are you? I'm just going to tell you straight up front. I'm not going to lie. Serving God's not a bed of roses. Walking with the Lord is, you're going to have problems. But you don't have to fight them alone. He'll be there. Time of repentance. And it's a time of commitment. Tonight I'm going to ask if you would to bow your heads and examine yourself and to judge yourself. And if you're not right with the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do so before we partake of the elements. As you look at yourself and you say, man, I'm not right with Jesus. And if something were to happen to me, I'd split hell wide open. And I need to ask him to forgive me. I need to accept that gift that he provided to me because of his death and resurrection, that gift of salvation. I need to ask him for his forgiveness and to receive that cleansing tonight. I need to make some things right. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Others, yes, sir, thank you. In the balcony, yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, thank you. Are there others on the main floor? Anyone? Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. This is your moment. This is between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, ma'am. Look up here at me. This is so simple, but I want to be sure that you understand it. Joining a church does not save you. Giving money to the church does not save you. These are good things to do, but there's one way to be saved. This is what the Bible says, that if we believe that Jesus is God's Son that came to this earth, was tried and tempted in all ways as you and I, but was without sin, making his blood worthy to pay the price to redeem sinful man back to holy God. And that if we believe he conquered death and walked out of that grave that Sunday morning, and that he's alive today, that he's coming back to get his people one of these days. If we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we're saved. Our sins are cleansed. We become a child of God. We're adopted into the kingdom. We're adopted into the family. And let me say something about that. Not every child that's born of natural parents, biological parents, is wanted. But every child that's adopted, there was a predetermined and a preconceived love to go to the expense and the trouble and the legalities and all that's involved to adopt that child. And that's why it's so important that we're adopted into the kingdom of God. We're His children. Because He loves us and He wants us. Now, with that knowledge, if you'll bow your head, I want to lead us in a prayer. There were many hands, probably close to 30 hands went up in this place tonight. My prayers can't do the deal for you. You must ask. You must believe in your heart, and you will receive the gift of life. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I need you to come into my life, to forgive my sins, to cleanse me with your blood. I do believe, Lord, that you're God's Son, that you died on a cross, but you walked out alive, and that you're coming back to get us. And until that day, I need your strength. I need your guidance. Teach me how to hear your voice. Teach me how to know your ways. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, every head still bowed. Every head still bowed. The Holy Spirit showed me there's some of you, a couple of you here that you don't believe. You can believe in His love and His forgiveness, but you can't forgive yourself. Nobody's looking. If I've heard the Lord right, if that's you, would you raise your hand real quick? Raise it up, put it back down. Yes, anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you in the balcony. In the balcony. Yes, yes. Yes. Look up here at me. I struggled with the exact same thing. For 15 years, I preached. I was a preacher. And I struggled with forgiving myself for things that I had done in the past that were so vile and bad that I was so ashamed. And I believed that God had forgiven me, but I couldn't forgive myself. One day I was driving down the road. I'm telling you this because it's going to help you. I'm driving down the road and I heard a voice in my truck. It says, "You think you're greater than me, huh?" And in 15 years of preaching, I had learned the Lord's voice. And I said, "No, Lord, I don't think I'm greater than you." He said, "Yes, you do." I said, "How so?" He said, "You're still judging yourself and holding unforgiveness for things that I forgave you for 15 years ago." I pulled my truck over on the side of the road and I asked the Lord to forgive me for carrying unforgiveness to myself. Now let me help you to understand what forgiveness is. This is as simple as I can make it. Forgiveness is a conscious, on purpose decision that I am not going to hold a sin or an offense done by someone else or to myself. I'm not going to hold it against that person anymore. I'm going to choose to let them go. See, that's what Jesus does for us. Because of repentance and forgiveness, He doesn't hold our sins against us anymore. So, those of you that are struggling with self-forgiveness, look at it through those eyes and understand that who are you to hold and retain something that the Lord has said, It's under the blood. It's cast into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. He does not hold it against you anymore. Stop allowing the devil to drag you down and make you mentally carry a weight and a ball and chain that's holding you back, keeping you from running the race the way that you need to run. You love the Lord, but you can't forgive yourself. Yes, you can. He already has. Let it go. Bow your head, I want to pray for you. Lord, you saw many hands go up across this place that confess they're struggling with self-forgiveness. Lord, I hope that my story and my testimony has shed some light into them. But Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak to them specifically, that you would touch them, touch their minds, touch their emotions, touch their spirit, touch their heart. Break that curse of unforgiveness and that chain that's holding them back. Lord, set them free tonight. Your word declares he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, we pray that there'll be a bunch of free people walk out of this house tonight. We promise to give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' precious name. Go ahead and open up your elements there and we'll partake together. Huh? You'll start it? Okay. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you take the bread, if you have it, out of your cup and just hold it up there for just a moment? Let me set this cup down. I'm going to take my hat off because I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you that this bread represents your body that was broken for our healing. And Lord, as we eat of this bread, let us do it in remembrance of the price you've paid. Let's eat together. This cup represents the blood . Just one drop of his blood was enough, but he gave it all. He said, in this cup is the New Testament. It's the blood of the New Testament. And Lord, we do drink of this cup in remembrance of you and the life that your blood brings, the life that it gives. So let's drink together. Then it says they sang a hymn and they went about their way to the Mount of Olives. So I've asked the praise team to sing us a song as our dismissal tonight. God bless.